for the podcast.
If you're looking for pizza now, they're ready when you are. Got a dirty car? Clean it up at the Brownsville Car Wash. Just 5 miles off of I-5. Exit 216.
All right, let's start this shit.
Sounds like Reagan.
What episode is this? You know?
It's episode lucky number 713.
713, that's a lucky number and an unlucky number.
I know, that's fucking weird. 7 is lucky, mm-hmm. 13 is unlucky. And we skipped Monday
and
this week.
And you add them both together.
20.
It's 11.
713?
Wait. 7, 3, and 1.
Oh, yeah, yeah. 21. 23! Ah! No, if you add... Yeah. Well, if you add me with Gatch, you get the Terry and Gatch Comedy Show. And we are here finally for a Wednesday episode. Sorry we missed you on Monday. Circumstances.
Jimi Hendrix.
Yes, I got a download this since I've seen you guys last at the Jimi Hendrix Experience box set. It's got some good stuff on it. This song is called Hey Baby.
How many discs?
I think it's like 3 discs. It's like some like 50-some songs. I downloaded it through my Move Music app in my Cricket smartphone.
Uh-huh.
Which they give you a 3-gig internal chip strictly for music, but somehow they've got it protected where you can't really put it on your computer or burn it onto a CD. We could burn it onto a CD with these handy...
Is it an iPhone or...?
No, it's just a Cricket Android. Cricket. It's a...
Man, every cell phone's weird.
It's an STS. But so if you put a different... Well, no, this one's different. But anyway, you know, you can bypass, like by recording with a Tascam and putting it on
certainly. MP3. Yeah.
But as far as just having the ease of hooking the cord up to your computer and transferring, somehow they've got... Because I can find almost anything. New Mastodon, as soon as it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, no AC/DC whatsoever.
That's weird. There must be a deal AC/DC has with
Walmart.
Yeah, because I remember when I had that Zune Pass, and it was just you could download any album anytime, but you were limited. You couldn't like burn it onto a CD or anything like that.
Yeah,
but Metallica and Ozzy Black Sabbath,
yeah.
Those you could
not available,
not for free. You could still buy them.
Yeah.
And there was a few others, like it was either Cannibal Corpse or Sepultura, one of the two.
Uh-huh.
That I was going through, and I just wanted to, like, you know. Because if you got free range just to download anything for the $10 a month, you know, you're going to try out a lot of different shit.
Oh, yeah.
Some Miles Davis.
Yep.
Bitches Brew.
I downloaded a bunch of old Fleetwood Mac, which was nothing like what most people think Fleetwood Mac is. When they were whipping out songs that they originally wrote, like Black Magic Woman.
And Dead Dogs in Your Garage.
Green Manalishi with the Two-Prong Crown. That's Fleetwood Mac, dude.
I don't know that song.
Judas Priest? Well, you're the Green Manalishi with the Two-Prong Crown. You know that Priest song that you have to... Driving me now. It's a hit. You would know it if you heard the Priest doing it. But anyway, that's a Fleetwood Mac song. A Black Magic Woman made famous by Santana.
Uh-huh.
Fleetwood Mac song.
Hmm.
And they were former members of the Blues Breakers, John Mayall and the Blues Breakers, which had Eric Clapton, Mick Fleetwood, and John McVie.
Mm-hmm.
And they splintered off into Fleetwood Mac, and that's a lot of good shit. Don't know if you're aware of that, Hans. Check it out, though, because it's good fucking bluesy rock.
I never did much Fleetwood Mac. Other than the hits.
Well, you know,
I always liked them, you know, and they got great songs.
They also did that...
A variety of songs.
Can't help about the shape I'm in. I can't sing. I ain't mm-hmm. pretty. That was Fleetwood Mac. And that's how that song goes.
Yeah. Fun little ditty.
It is. And I was kind of stoked to hear a lot of shit that I hadn't heard before, and I'm glad that I can get to do stuff like that, because new shit is cool.
Yeah.
New old shit that I'd never heard before. So,
dude, how about this? We were just talking before the show about the James Gang.
Joe Walsh and the James Gang.
Dude, they're from Cleveland Rocks.
Rocks?
Mm-hmm.
Ohio?
Cleveland Rocks.
What's Rocks?
Well, that's just, you know, that song, Cleveland Rocks.
No.
The theme show to the Drew Carey Show.
There's a song called Cleveland Rocks?
Yeah, it's by the Presidents of the United States of America, and they did, it was the Drew Carey Show theme song. Where they go, Cleveland Rocks, blah, blah, blah.
I didn't used to watch the Drew Carey Show, but still don't. So I didn't know what you're talking about, but...
Jim Fox, he played with the Outsiders in a Cleveland area band.
Oh, Jim
Fox. In 1965.
He's the guy with the horn-rimmed glasses that are like mine kind of right now.
Are they? Is he?
I think so. Isn't he?
He was a drummer.
Yeah, yeah.
Jim Fox.
He was an awesome drummer, and he did. He had glasses kind of just like mine, and a little mustache and some wavy hair kind of like. I could be a Jim Fox lookalike if I grew a mustache out, probably.
He's an avid collector of automobile license plates, and he's an officer on the Automobile License Plate Collectors Association.
Hey, we should turn him on to Dan Kroll, who is also a license plate collector.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, what do you collect license plates for if you collect license plates?
So you can put them on the wall of your garage, dude.
So you just, that's just what you do with them?
No, he actually, Mr. Kroll, I believe, has been getting some duplicates and like selling them on eBay and at collector's places and stuff like that. And maybe people who are collectors try to collect a full collection to sell to another collector who's looking for a collection that he doesn't have to collect himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Well, that's what I was wondering. Do you collect states or do you collect like one state and the many variations of that, or...
Yeah, I'm going to have to make a note here to tag Dan in this episode, because he may not listen every time. He may, but I'm going to put a little note here on my
Have you ever had a personalized license plate?
No, I have not.
Ron had Slayer in Oregon for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah, and Pat had two. Pat had Thrash and Victims.
Yep, I remember the Victims one. Because I remember getting gas with him one time, and somebody said, Victims of what?
Whatever you want, dude.
Yep.
You know who I've been getting messages from on the victim site?
Who?
Geoff.
Oh, Jared? Geoff?
Geoff Thorpe.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Every time, sometimes he'll just say, he even types it this way, metal. And then I said, hey, Geoff, what's up? I'm surprised you're not listening to Anthrax, because that was always his favorite band when I knew Geoff. And then he said something about, oh, God, what was the last message I got from? He said, I just found a band from Sweden called Internal Decay. And I said, oh, yeah, they were around when we were back in the day, and we knew about them. I said, there's also a band from Sweden called Victims. What if those bands got together?
Yeah.
Victims and Internal Decay live. There could be some confusion.
Yeah. I remember I saw Geoff one time at an Anthrax concert.
What?
Yeah, it was at the La Luna, and I probably gave a party foul here because it was right before Anthrax was coming up on stage, right? And I was already kind of like in the first two rows, you know, up there.
Yeah.
And I turn around and I see him, and he's just getting up there with me, and then he just falls. Like, pass out fall. Like, you know, when you're in the hot crowd and everything and you're not hydrating.
Was he just standing there rocking out and then he fell?
No, yeah, he was just standing there. We were all waiting and then he just fell. And I was like, whoa, help me get this dude out of here. Because he was, like, lights out. And so that probably pushed him to the back. And then I don't know what happened to him after that.
Yeah, that's always scary.
Yeah, yeah. You know, but fucking, I didn't want him to get trampled.
Ah.
I'm sure he would. He was probably pissed.
He was an adult, wasn't he? I think he's still living down in Reno.
Yeah, I think so. Lake Tahoe area, yeah.
How you doing, Geoff? I bet you're listening now because I tagged you in this shit.
there was, but Jim Fox, he started the James Gang.
My dad used to love those guys, man. He had two or three of their albums, all the ones with Joe Walsh that I know of. James Gang Rides Again, which had a parody of Easy Rider. Because they were a three-piece, and it had two of them on one chopper and one on the other.
This one lists them as starting as a four-piece.
Okay.
With Fox.
Pre-Joe Walsh.
Tom Chris, Ronnie Silverman on guitar, and Phil Lombardo.
Yeah, that's a complete different lineup.
On keyboards, and they auditioned 25 candidates for lead guitar and went for Greg Grandillo, who later... left for Rainbow Canyon he played in.
Wow, I never heard of any of those.
And then he was replaced by Dennis Chandler. He would go on to play with Chuck Berry, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, and B.B. King, and was simply known as Mouse. But Fox still wasn't happy with the lineup, and...
yeah, that wasn't that good. I don't remember any of their stuff.
Mm-hmm. And he went to... you heard Glenn Schwartz play with Spencer Davis and Jeff Beck, and invited him to join.
Jeff,
he wasn't enthusiastic, so he left. And then Silverman left, and there was no recordings released of those early lineups.
That's good. They sucked.
Mm-hmm. And then the one guy ended up being AWOL from the Army. He left the band to form Pacific Gas and Electric from California.
Oh, that's a company that charges people for services?
Mm-hmm.
No, is that a group, right? A band?
Yeah, Pacific Gas and Electric.
That's a band?
Mm-hmm. And then there's shortly after that, after 1968, the beginning of 1968, a friend of his, Joe Walsh, who was in a band called The Measles, knocked on James's door and asked to be given a tryout. And he was accepted. And one of the guys was still in high school at the time. And they worked up on guitar parts and then left. And then one of the guys came back. And then they opened up for Cream in Detroit.
Wow.
And then one of the guys left the show right back then at the show. He informed him he would not be joining the show, so they took the stage as its trio, and they liked the sound so much they stayed that way.
Yeah, and that's when I heard of him, as after they were already a trio. Joe Walsh, mm-hmm. Jim Fox, and what was the bass player's name at that point, do you know?
It was that one guy. His name was
I can't remember.
Tom Chris.
Tom Cruise?
Tom Chris. Like a was Peter
that,
Chris.
Was that Peter Chris's brother?
Might be, but it was with a K. I don't think Peter Chris is with a K, is it?
No, it's with a C.
Yeah.
You know, I recently watched the... I was wondering if the James Gang, have they ever been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? I had a free HBO weekend the other weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the 2014 Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductions,
mm-hmm.
with Nirvana and Kiss and Hall & Oates and Peter Gabriel and Linda Ronstadt.
Mm-hmm.
It was pretty good, though, dude. The Nirvana one was like, the speech that Dave Grohl gave was like, I almost cried a little bit. It was pretty good. And Chris Novoselic gave a speech, and then you probably saw clips of the bands playing, but I saw the whole thing uncut.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those chicks are weird, dude. That Lord, I found out it is Lord, not Lorde. It's Lord. She's weird. Dude, the chick Kim Gordon from Sonic Youth did the weirdest version of Aneurysm I've ever heard. I don't know if she's a singer. I know she's the bass player of the band.
Mm-hmm.
But, dude, it was like Kurt would have loved that part if he hated Joan Jett doing Smells Like Teen Spirit. Meh. Whatever.
I love Teen Spirit, and I like it. I don't even know. That's like 30 songs in one.
That is. But Lita Ford's coming to Lebanon, so I don't care about Joan Jett anymore.
Check this out.
Check it!
In James Gang, they had a guitarist after Joe Walsh.
Yeah.
But
they didn't do very well.
But the guy left and went on to join the Guess Who. Troiano. Dominic Troiano.
That was after Guess Who was already forgotten about, too.
And then Troiano was replaced by Tommy Bolin on Joe Walsh's recommendation.
Ah.
And appeared on two albums. And then Bolin left and attempted to form a group with Mike Finnegan.
Again? God, Mike Finn. But
that was, they were going to join a group with him. But not long after that, he left, and John Entwistle brought in the guitarist for Mark Bolan's replacement.
And who was that?
Jimmy McCullough.
I don't know.
But he ended up just staying with Paul McCartney and the Wings.
Huh.
Yep.
Wow. Well, I didn't hear anything about the James B. Gang or any of their songs when they didn't have Joe Walsh in them. I knew that they existed, but I don't think they had any hits. They may or may not have. At least they didn't make it to my ear holes. But the two or three albums that my dad had of the James Gang, those were good. Still are, I'm sure. But I haven't. You know, that's making me, right now, it's making me want to go download some James Gang.
You know, they got back together to play at an election rally for Bill Clinton in 1996. And they appeared on the Drew Carey Show and at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
With Joe Walsh? Shows. Or not?
I think so. Yeah, the classic lineup.
Because that was the classic lineup.
Yep. Yep, but they had the Wild Cherry keyboardist.
Ooh. Well, I saw the Wild Cherry guitarist last summer with Foghat at River Rhythms this year featuring Night Ranger.
Night Ranger, Night Ranger.
And all the rest are crappy, you know, except for, well, he's even crappy too, but Uncle Cracker is coming too.
Uncle Cracker.
What does Uncle Cracker do except for that one cover
song? He's a country guy now though, isn't he?
No, I don't think so. Your voice gets higher when you know.
I thought he was.
He was the DJ of Kid Rock, right? And then he became.
Then he had that one hit,
which was a cover from an old song of everyone likes to sing along.
Mm-hmm.
Something, because I can't think of nothing right now. And the only way I can remember is to.
All right. Now I got another band for you. This band was together from 67 to 73. They're blues rock. And
what is this fucking?
They were called Pacific Gas and Electric.
Classic Rock Trivia Day.
Also known as Pacific Gas and Electric Blues Band.
Okay. I made out a lot of checks to those guys and.
Yep, their biggest hit was Are You Ready? The gospel tinged Are You Ready?
Huh.
Is that the same Are You Ready as CBS played?
CBS? Who's CBS? Climax Blues Band?
Wait, no, CBS. Are You Ready? The Temptations song.
Now that's Get Ready.
Oh.
Pretty sure.
Yeah, you're probably right. Are You Ready reached number 14 on the Billboard Hot 100, though.
What?
But didn't they had the drummer from Canned Heat.
Damn. I'm going up the country.
I had the 10 greatest hits of Canned Heat. And I got to be honest, they only have two.
That is one of them.
Uh-huh, and then they had the other one, right?
How do you get away with singing like this?
Dude, that whole album, the whole album was just that one tone. It's recognizable, though. You hear that, you know who it is.
I'm going up the country. On the road again.
Can you guess their other? Can you guess their other hit before?
Who, Canned Heat?
Canned Heat, yeah.
That was the two right there.
Oh.
Wasn't it? Going up the country and...
going up the country?
On the road again.
Oh, yeah, that's right. On the road again.
On the road again.
On the road again.
I heard a story about that singer. He had an extensive record collection of vinyl, like 40,000 records back in the 70s.
Who?
I don't even know his name. The guy that sings like that. He had a lot of fucking records.
I'm talking about Floyd Jones.
Is that his fucking name? I don't know what his name is. I forgot.
Alan Wilson.
Yeah, that dude. Wilson! He also was a volleyball. He invented the volleyball.
Is that a falsetto that he's singing?
Mm-hmm. It's like a super quiet falsetto.
Yeah, it's not really a gut
it's
singing.
It's not like a Geddy Lee.
He's not singing from the gut, is he?
It's more like, well, I'm just kind of singing.
Yeah, he's just kind of, he's pushing hair. He's not like.
It's like trying to talk like a lady. Like, hi, I'm talking like a girl.
He was also the harmonicist, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, Canned Heat. Whatever.
I thought they were different just because I like those two songs because they're mellow.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they played them on the radio.
Yep.
And then they had some other minor hits on the AOR rock channels, which I recently had referred to as artist-oriented rock instead of album-oriented rock. You know, like an AOR radio station or an AOR genre, which I always thought was album-oriented rock, which means it didn't necessarily have to be the single. It could be any song off the album. Like, back in the 70s and 80s, DJs could take a record that had 10 songs on it and fucking play any one that they wanted.
Say, yeah. Hey, here's a new song. That or album-oriented rock?
That's what I always call it.
I always thought album-oriented rock was like a theme album. Like, rock with a theme. So the whole album,
Well, you've heard the...
Examples would be like Fragile.
Okay.
From Yes.
Yes. Or Queensryche, Operation Mindcrime.
Mm-hmm. Certainly. Yeah. Tommy. Kind of like a progressive thing, I guess.
Tommy by The Who.
Mm-hmm. Dark Side, maybe.
Okay, so...
A lot of 70s albums, I think, fall in the themes. A lot of Jethro Tull.
But you do recall the term AOR, right?
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Was that album or artist-oriented?
I always thought it was adult.
Really? There's so many words that start with A.
All right, so
it could
what
be asshole or our genre or music or station or album. All right,
AOR genre, album-oriented rock.
Is that what it
says? Oh, wait, nope, but that's
artist?
On Wikipedia, but it's also on Rate Your Music. It's adult-oriented rock.
We're all right!
I know.
We're all right! Yep. Ah, we're not all right. Hey, I'm just going to tell you this while you look up that. July is here.
July.
I'm fucking stoked because June was fucking shitty.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to myself in my loud van on the way over here about how fucking I sounded like Bill Burr recording my own fucking podcast in the van on the way to work.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking higher. Fucking started talking like I was from Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking goddamn it. So I'm glad that June is over. We had a meager turnout at the fucking Grand Slam Comedy Show number 8, which proves that you should always cancel comedy in the summertime because no one comes out. Even when you have a crew from, like, we had people from Salem, Humboldt County, Newport, Oregon, Austin, Texas, Brownsville. It was an array of great comics, and there was like 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
No tippers. Nobody got paid. Well, Chris got paid. It just sucks. So we're going to stop doing that for a couple months. We're coming back in September with the Grand Clam. And we're going to change it to the Grand Clam.
Yeah,
we're going to change it to that, hoping that more people will come out, because if you could order clams at Denny's.
Grand Clam Comedy Poop Hole.
Poop Hole?
No.
Okay.
That rhymes with whatever it was.
Comedy Show? Comedy Poop Hole?
I don't know how I came up with that.
That sounds more intriguing.
Comedy People. Poop
I think that more people would come to a show called the Grand Clam Comedy Poop Hole.
Dude, yeah.
I think we've just renamed the whole series, and we're hoping that we could get an all... This was before I found out we changed the name. Out of the 25 comics that we've had gracing the Denny's floor in the corner, only 2 of them were ladies. So I would kind of like to have an all-lady review for the Grand Clam Comedy Poop Hole.
Yeah, that would work out better.
But speaking of comedy poop holes, the second girl to grace the stage, Charmaine Douglas, she was talking about having anal sex. And it was like mostly all guys in the room except for her. And then she said it was good at first when he stuck it in, kind of. She goes, but then when it came back out, it was just too much like shitting. Which is funny, but fucking when she's the only girl in the thing, it was odd. It got oddly quiet and awkward in the room, and she's like, yeah, I said it. I don't have anal sex anymore because the second part of each beginning just feels like I keep shitting. I'm just shitting out a turd over and over.
That is weird.
It's like pooping back and forth.
Yeah.
With my dick. Hey, you want to poop back and forth? My dick will be the turd.
Turn my dick's a turd.
Dick's a turd. So yeah, check back in with us in September for some more Grand Clam Comedy Poop Hole. Comedy Poop Hole, a Comedy Poop Hole, Comedy Poop Hole, a Comedy Poop Hole.
Album-oriented rock.
Oh, really? Is that the general?
Is an American FM radio format focusing on album tracks by rock artists.
That reminds me of the movie FM
mm-hmm.
with Martin Mull. And I had the record, double record set of FM with bands like Steely Dan.
Steely Dan.
FM, no static at all.
Meow, meow, meow. Like Steely Dan.
Skunk Baxter on the fucking lead guitar right there.
It evolved from progressive rock radio in the mid-70s to create an album rock format with greater commercial appeal.
Yeah, because you didn't just hear, which is opposite of today's commercial appeal. Well, they just appear to play the fucking same songs every hour,
mm-hmm.
which is whatever's in the top 40. Now that Casey Kasem's dead, maybe they could stop doing that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, in the mid-70s, they put more control over the songs were being played on the air. So stations went and they played longer songs and deep album tracks rather than just singles. So I think that on album-oriented, you're not just getting the singles.
Yeah.
The program directors had to take a greater role in the selection. Yeah.
If it wasn't for AOR stations when I was growing up, I wouldn't have heard songs like Driven to Tears because by the Police. That mm-hmm. wasn't a hit when Mañana. All you would hear on the top 40 was da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- coal mine.
Yeah, or the man in a coal mine. Or
a man in a suitcase.
Man in a suitcase.
Or fucking something about a camel.
Uh-huh.
Which there's a song or something.
Yeah, so they played large amounts of classic rock during the 9-to-5 workday and then newer songs baked into the mix.
That's when you get to hear the 10-minute version of 157 Riverside Avenue by REO Speedwagon on a fucking Saturday afternoon in Rock Block Weekend.
Yeah. So, but it does focus more on the album, and I like that. But you don't get that much around here, do you?
Hells, not anymore.
Yeah.
Not even on fucking K-Fly, which is our local rock station, the largest in our area.
Yeah, but they play top 40 mostly, don't they?
Top 40 hard rock. Yeah, and it has to be in that. And then they slip in these classic rock, and I think they have a large pool to choose from. Mm-hmm. I talked to Carl about it before because he's our friend. He's been on the show with us before. Back in the day, check it out. Go back to our website, tagcastpodcast.com, once it gets up again. And we can you can go listen to the old episode of me and Carl and Dustin talking about all kinds of shit. But anyway, he told me that they get a certain pool that they have to choose from that include, like, the Boston and the Jimi Hendrix and the whatever, Black Sabbath and Thin Lizzy or whatever they get to
Black
play.
Black Crows.
Counting Crows.
Black
Keys, White Stripes, Yellow Moons, Orange Star, and the Green Clovers. Can we just name a band after everything from Lucky Charms? Ladies and gentlemen, the Green Clovers, all the way from Ireland.
In the 80s, though, in the early 80s, AOR Radio was criticized for the lack of black artists.
Of black artists? Why? Because they only made singles?
No, I don't know. But then when Thriller came out, some put Beat It on there, as well as some other hits, like Little Red Corvette.
Raspberry Beret.
Every time I go into a secondhand store, I always ask if they have a Raspberry Beret.
What do they say? Are you a Prince fan? So yeah, I like to keep the Purple Rain off my hair.
And Electric Avenue. And Beat It. Debuted on Billboard's Top Tracks chart the same week in April 83.
See, just goes to show you how the media dictates what's popular. They go, oh shit, we're in trouble. No black people. Boom, boom, boom. Black people's number one. Sorry.
But it did not open the floodgates. However,
what about Billy Ocean?
The door is cracked and remained through the 80s for people like,
get out of my dreams.
I don't know if they really played him album oriented, though, did they? Maybe, but like Tracy Chapman, Living Color, God. Prince, and Lenny Kravitz got some.
Yeah.
The phenomenal success of album-oriented rock and the high competitiveness for ratings. Some stations added glam metal.
What about Milli Vanilli? They were black-oriented.
And then as the end of the decade of the 80s, these stations were playing fewer and fewer new artists, and the rise of grunge, alternative, and hip-hop accelerated the fade-out of album-oriented rock format.
Huh.
And by the early 90s, many of them had switched exclusively to the classic rock.
You can look at just about any genre except for rap and hip-hop and see that there is a lack of black people in, like, classic rock. Not a lack of them, but in comparison to how many white people are in bands.
Mm-hmm.
There's way less black people in, like, classic rock bands.
But when they have a band, they put as many people as they can. Have you seen The Roots?
Dave Matthews. That's true. It'd be like if Mexicans had bands, they'd probably say, everybody in the house has the part in the band.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just talk, like an Italian person.
If a clown car had a band.
Why did I just turn into Mario?
I don't know.
Say, everybody in the house has a part of the band. You're all Mexicans, but you have an Italian who's a landlord.
Here's some subgenres of AOR. How about AAA?
Album, artist, adult.
You got two of them. Adult, album, alternative.
Oh, okay.
It echoes a softer A&R, AOR without the hard rock or metal.
Let me whisper some names. Dave Matthews Band.
Here's one you know. One strong AAA station is Kink FM out of Portland.
They play a lot of Steely Dan.
Mm-hmm. So you're getting album cuts, but not so much like the AC/DC and the Van Halens.
Yeah.
Then you got modern rock alternative. They take the approach with new wave, punk, college rock, grunge, and stuff.
And stuff.
And then active rock. They play such stuff as STP, Nickelback, Creed, Foo Fighters, Linkin Park, and Korn.
The majority of all those bands you just listed, which I hate that the Foo Fighters are in there, I don't like them. Mm-hmm. What did you call that genre again?
That's active rock.
Actively sucking. Nickelback, you said? No?
Yeah.
Creed, Nickelback.
Stone Temple Pilots.
Theory
Lincoln
of
Park,
a, Theory of a Dead Man is not listed, but they're really in there subliminally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Active rock?
Mm-hmm.
Is that for people who like to work out?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to go climb a hill.
I didn't think of active rock as that. I thought more active rock as far as active rock.
They jump around on stage?
No, that just they were...
active in the scene?
Yeah.
That is
hot today, you know, like the Nickelback and the Creed. And but I guess if workout music, I guess that kind of makes sense. It was pioneered by the Pure Rock Kanak in Los Angeles in 86.
See, now I know.
And now that's online only.
Now I know that it's active rock, which my stepdaughter Dakota always calls it crotch rock. But
what's that?
I don't know. Just because it's the opposite of butt rock. I don't know. She just
thinks, oh, okay.
Crotch rock.
All right, I get it now.
But we were going to write a theme song for Under the Dome because we watched it. Did you watch Under the Dome?
I watched part of it, and I realized I don't know what's going on anymore because I missed
Under the Dome, yeah. So we're gonna we're trying to write Under the Dome, yeah,
mm-hmm.
something. But we didn't know if it was crotch rock or butt rock, but it's active rock.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for letting me know that.
Yeah, I don't.
You lost the dome?
Happened?
At the end, they were going to kill.
He was in the news at one time, and then it was all of a sudden, the dome doesn't want to kill Jim Willig.
Jim Willig?
Is that his name?
No, that's the guy from Big and Loud Podcast.
Oh.
Maybe the dome does want to kill Jim Willig and Don Frost. No, the dome became magnetic. Remember?
What's his name? Jim?
Jim Rennie.
Oh, Jim Rennie.
Big Jim, though. He is a Big Jim.
Mm-hmm.
And Big Jim Willig is a Big Jim Willig.
Yeah, and they almost rhyme.
Big Jim Willie, Big Jim Rennie, Big Jim Willig.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, yeah, he was going to hang himself, right?
Uh-huh.
But you missed a lot before that, or what?
No, I saw bits and pieces before that. But I did miss the first few minutes, and I saw, like...
That's one thing that
seemed... All of a sudden, there was, like, new cast members, and I'm like... What? They were fucking in the goddamn dome, and now all of a sudden you're where'd these new people come from? I don't know. Were they outside the dome? I don't know.
He was up in the country. It was Big Jim Willig's ex
Yeah, wife. Oh, he didn't know anything was going on, and he didn't, like, think.
Oh, he's been out of circulation since his sister got killed.
He didn't know anything was going on. He didn't know there was a dome or anything weird in the air. He didn't see pink butterflies and come down off the hill to see what was going on.
Well, it was written by Stephen King, though, and this was the only episode to be written by him. And he even made a short cameo. Did you see him ask for a refill on his cup of coffee?
I didn't pay attention to it. That's why I didn't really get anything.
It only took 5 seconds, and he's like, can I get a refill?
Mm-hmm. I missed like the first 10 minutes, so I thought, well, I'm going to end up watching it in full anyway.
Well, that's one thing that CBS doesn't do that all like A&E and FX. They don't
play the shit out of them.
Play the whole entire last episode or like the whole season before the new season starts. Everybody's doing that these days. Even on the Drunk History, they're doing that. What do you think about Drunk History? Do you think that's staged?
What about Undateables? They show the last episode before the new episode, but it was a new episode.
No, they're already done. This Thursday is the last three episodes.
And they just shoved them all in.
It's because they had to get a full season in a half a season.
Let me tell you what.
We weren't even talking about that. I was talking about whatever I was talking about before. Not Undateable.
You're talking about Under the Dome.
No, but then we went to something else for a second, and then I talked about something
else. Talking about how shows always play the death out of shows.
Yep, and then we talked about, I said Drunk History. What do you think about it? Do you think it's scripted? Because there's some controversy going on that they think that the people aren't really drunk. They're just acting drunk.
I don't think it's scripted.
You think they really get drunk and try to tell a story?
I think so. I think there's any reason not to. I mean, that'd be like the rumor going around saying that people didn't really eat spicy habaneros on Spicy News.
Oh, yeah. They're fake, just little cardboard things.
Yeah, I was like, they're not really doing that. Well, it's just a shtick, and they say they are.
Drunk History, my ass.
I think they do, but I think
you think so?
I think they prepare. I mean, you know, they probably read the shit out of the
thing.
Well,
it has to be a story that they know about, yeah.
Well, no, I mean, I think they get what it is, and then they prepare, and so they have stuff to talk about.
Right.
But kind of, like, maybe, like, confuse the facts because they're so new to them.
Or plus they're drunk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I mean. They confuse the facts because, you know, all the information's probably most of it's new to them, so they confuse it.
I think it's pretty a cool premise, though, the way, because when you get drunk, you kind of do that, and you're like, and then he was just like this, and then he, like, invented some stuff, and then all of a sudden he's popular, and then it goes to someone playing that part and them overdubbing the voice into the actors. I think it's pretty clever.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could have thought of something as clever as that. They had Key or Peele, one of those guys.
Keeble? Jordan,
they had Peele on there, and he was playing a guy who... I don't even know. I'd never heard of a lot of these history stories. I'd never even heard of because I didn't pay attention in history when I was in school.
My history teachers were always mean.
Well, most teachers are mean.
I have some news for you.
What's the news?
That's kind of related to that and Undateable, but not really related to any of that because...
I'm fucking sweating.
Community.
Back for a season in a movie?
Maybe.
I heard that.
On Yahoo.
But I still have never even, like, watched more than, like, 5 episodes of that show. Is it worth it? Should I start over and watch from the beginning?
Yeah, if you want.
But do you think I'd like it?
Maybe.
I remember making a point of watching it when Jack Black was going to be on it, which is pretty bullshit. That's like traitor sellout shit. I just wanted to see Jack Black.
There's, some seasons are better than others. It's not bad.
Okay, well, maybe
I'll give it some. I like Parks and Rec better.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
But Community has nicer episodic storylines that are kind of fun. They're just kind of fun and out there and goofy, which is good.
I just got some fucking weed in my mouth.
You know what today is?
Today's the 2nd of July.
Halfway.
Halfway to what?
There's 182 days before today and 182 days after today.
Oh, nice. Well, then that must be every year. July 2nd is always that day, unless it's a leap year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, then guess who was born halfway?
Halfway.
Pretty, 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 Pretty good. It's Larry David's birthday.
Oh, Larry David.
Yeah, he was born halfway.
You know, you want to know something about him?
Yeah.
He's birthday. Got long balls.
You got fucking long balls, Larry? What do you think about it? You've been watching Last Comic Standing, J.B. Smoove?
Nope.
Dude, he's fucking Urkel, no? He's Urkel.
I love J.B. Smoove.
He acts like Urkel. I love J.B. Smoove, too, but he, I believe his acting, especially in Curb Your Enthusiasm,
just because I'm going to do Urkel.
Is acting. He's been wearing bow tie and fucking googly glasses.
Mm-hmm. That's just who he is.
Is that really who he is?
Yeah, when he was on Talking Dead, he's talking about tying his bow ties.
And he's super enthusiastic about everything.
Everything.
But I think he's been doing a good job hosting.
Everything.
They're down to 10, though, now. And there's like 4 or 5 black people on there. So they're trying to be not racist, like you said, you know? Like Saturday Night Live had to hire
a I was just doing a Roseanne, sorry.
Ah! She'll do it like 10 seconds after the joke. No, but, you know, Saturday Night Live had to hire a new cast member mid-season.
Midge? I remember they hired Mitch.
No, mid-season.
All right.
Because, you know, they got some slack, Xander.
Yep. No, mid-season.
No black people. So, they said that about that genre of rock. No black people and the album-oriented rock people. Me. Why does everybody got to be? Now everybody's upset about fucking Hobby Lobby saying that they're not going to pay for fucking abortions. What the fuck? Who goddamn cares?
No, they're not going to pay for contraceptives.
What the hell ever?
They don't want to pay for contraceptives.
You don't think a contraceptive is a fucking abortion? It's you know how many sperms die in a fucking condom?
Every sperm is sacred.
You shoot.
Every sperm is.
I think there's 12 million sperm. You can make it an hour?
I don't know.
As opposed to like 400 eggs?
You know that
eggs.
Song though, right?
No.
By Bonnie Python, Every Sperm is Sacred.
Who's Bonnie Python?
Bonnie Python, she played slide guitar.
Bonnie Python.
She had these big old arms. That's why they called her Python. She had these big old arms, and then she played slide guitar.
And she would just use her arm for a slide.
People always talking about it because... He gave them.
It's amazing how something just comes out of nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Bonnie Python live at the Apollo. She was a black lady. I don't know if you knew that or not.
Dude, they're doing that live show, aren't they?
Oh, wait. So that's what I wanted to ask you. Jimmy Schubert out on the first round.
What?
Yeah, he's out. He was out the first round. Him and that Ida Rodriguez.
I still think Roseanne's going to win, or J.B. Smoove.
You don't think it's going to be Wrestling Peters?
Wrestling Peters.
That's what his name. I wonder if anybody's ever called him that. I just now thought of that for the first time.
I bet so.
How could they not, right? Mm-hmm. No, but yeah, Jimmy Schubert got voted out, and you know who made it past him? Rodman. Rodman's pretty funny. Black dude. He talked funny. He talked funny all the time, and he messed up his words
all the time. What about that tall lady?
That wore the yellow dress?
I don't know. She's just super tall.
Oh, no, no. She didn't even make it in the top 10.
Oh.
They're down to 8 now.
What about N-word guy?
Yeah, he's in.
All right.
Joe Machi. Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of birthdays. You know who died today?
Larry David.
Betty Grable.
What?
And Fred Gwynne.
Well, I guess dead is better.
It is.
He died.
21 years ago.
Fred Gwynne?
Yeah.
He died 21 years ago.
Yeah.
2 days before the 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
So he died 2 days before the 4th of July. Tom Cruise was born on the 4th of July.
I don't think he was actually born on the 4th of July, though.
The guy in the movie was. No, it was just his Independence Day borned him. I've been borned by the independence of my country. I was born on the 4th of July. I don't care that my birthday was August 25th.
And what about that?
I love
Tom Cruise was born on the 4th of July, but he wasn't Hamburger Hill.
What about Terry Crews, his brother? Terry Crews.
I think they're related to Crews socks.
They're black.
Crews socks.
Tom Cruise is actually a black person.
What did you think about his role in Tropic Thunder?
I actually thought it was pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Did you know it was him when you first saw it?
I did.
Because you were already told.
You know who I didn't know was a certain person playing a certain role that I said it wasn't, and then I got proved wrong by a...
In that movie?
No. Totally different movie. In Tenacious D, Pick a Destiny. Do you know who plays Sam Squanch? Guess what? Come on, JV. Let's go ride the rainbow. It was uncredited.
It's
John C. Reilly. And I didn't know that. And so we're watching it on Fuse just because it happened to be on. And Brandon, my son's girlfriend, said, did you know that guy from Step Brothers? That's not Will Ferrell. And I was like, no. And Acacia goes, Terry says no. Like, Terry's the dude who knows. And then, of course, fucking smart bones. Make me not so smart. She's like, oh, it is John C. Reilly.
I like a John C. Reilly.
But before she looked it up, I said, if it is, it doesn't say that it's him in the credits. And that's exactly what she found. So I was wrong, but I was right.
How many John C. Reilly movies have you seen?
Fuck, 100, dude.
100?
At least.
I don't think he's been in 100.
50? Dude, he's been in at least 100 movies. John C. Reilly? Dude, he's been... Look up his movieography, filmography, whatever.
Filmography. I'm going to look up all filmography.
Okay.
All filmography.
Dude, I'm telling you, he's been in at least 100 movies, and I bet I've seen 50. You laugh, fucking sound guy.
74. He's acted in 74 movies.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen 50.
All right, have you seen that
74?
Movie, John?
Yeah, with John C. Reilly.
Nope, X coming out in 2015.
I saw it last year.
What about Il Racconto dei Racconti?
Saw that movie twice just last
That's
week.
Coming out next year.
Dude, I get previews. I get sneak previews.
Have you ever seen Steve, or check it out, with Dr. Steve Brule?
Yeah, I own that on Blu-ray. And Laserdisc.
All right, Anchorman 2.
Yeah, I just got to watch that the other day because I'm slow. Did you finally watch it? Or had you already watched it?
We already watched it.
Yeah.
Forever ago. What do you think? Better than one?
No.
What? I thought it was way better than one.
Maybe. Actually, to be honest, I didn't get to watch the whole thing because I started.
Dude, when fucking...
It was late and I started to fall asleep, so I turned it off and went to bed.
When Steve Carell lost his legs.
Oh, spoiler.
Oh, you didn't see that part?
No, maybe I only got halfway through it.
It was
funny.
Hilarious.
I was laughing the whole way through, but it was like 1:30 in the morning.
Okay.
And I couldn't make it. And then for some reason, I can't stay up till 4 in the morning anymore.
He was uncredited in Anchorman 2.
I know why, because I haven't been having as many gigs lately. You know, I told you June was a shitty month.
Mm-hmm.
I had to cancel 2 gigs at the end of the month, so I apologize to anybody who might have came out to Sam Bond's garage when I told you to come see me. I wasn't there, and I wasn't at Chris Castle's going away party at the Black Forest either, because June fucked me with no lube. But now it's July, so I'm feeling better.
He was uncredited in The Dictator and in Anchorman 2.
Speaking of dictators.
And in Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie.
Wow, I saw all those. No, I did see Tim and Eric's Billion Dollar Movie, but I did not see The Dictator. Because I don't like... I saw a dictator.
He played Mike D in Fight for Your Right.
About the Beastie Boys?
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking awesome.
Yep, he was in the Beastie Boys 2 band.
That's crazy.
Before that, did you see the promotion?
I don't think so.
Around the same time as Step Brothers.
I doubt it.
It was. Yep, he was. He was in the other movie. He was in The Aviator. Did you watch that?
Yeah, with Leo.
Yep, he was uncredited in Anger Management.
See, he's in so... Then how is he credited on that list?
I don't know.
No, that just means that it didn't go on the credits.
He also played Sasquatch in The Complete Masterworks.
Oh! Tell Sasquatch I said...
Wait, mm-hmm.
Tell those guys I said... A friend. I didn't know that either.
Yep, he was credited in that one, it looks like, though. And he played Jim Keering in Magnolia. Which is almost like Jim Remy and Jim Willig.
Yeah, big Jim Keyring.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch Wreck-It Ralph?
Yeah, that was his voice in that, too.
Mm-hmm.
That was when we still had our little godson.
Mm-hmm.
We used to watch Wreck-It Ralph just about every day. And the other guy that was his sidekick was the guy from 30 Rock.
Alec Baldwin?
No, the nerdy guy that works, the page
oh,
guy.
Oh, jeez, I don't know if I can handle that.
You know that guy?
Yeah.
That blonde-haired guy? You can't handle his voice?
Not really.
He's a little bit nerdy. He's in quite a few movies, too. So Hans was listening back to episode 312 yesterday. That's what Hans does when we don't have episodes. He just listens to old ones.
That's cool.
And then he wants us to have those guests that were on the old ones back on the show again. So if anyone else is interested in having a guest on the show, us having a guest, tell us who you want. And then call them yourself.
Cornelius Cornwallis.
Tell them yourself. And then tell them to come over here because we're tired of fucking around with it. You know how hard it is to get someone down here? If they don't live here? Or next door? Okay, what's in Hans' CD player today? A classic metal album from the mid-80s.
All right, I'm going to guess UFO.
No.
April Wine.
Metal, dude. Metal.
Metal from April Wine.
No, metal from the 80s. Like, wow. Like epitome of like thrash metal starting up in the mid-80s.
Oh, then you're talking about Exodus.
Close. From that area in the world, too.
Venom.
Metallica's Ride the Lightning he's listening to.
Oh, one of the early demos.
No. It's their second album that come after Kill 'Em All.
All right. You want to know something, though?
I do.
It's been 25 years since Sergeant. The release of Injustice for All.
Injustice for All?
Right, 89? Or was that 87?
It was 89.
25-year anniversary from when a lot of people...
When One came out.
A lot of people thought that... it's when Metallica sold out, right? Because they did a video.
Yeah, they did the video of One.
Mm-hmm, and they said before that, we'll never do a video.
Did they?
Didn't they? Wasn't that the big thing? Was they said, Metallica said they'd never do a video. Then they did a video, and then now all they do a video for every fucking song. Now they do a video between every... They do a full fucking full-on movie between every fucking album they have.
Now they got a video of a movie that's a video of one of their songs. It's a video of their fucking concert.
Mm-hmm.
And then it has videos in between it with the guy who's skateboarding, who's supposed to be their roadie, and then they fucking have a fake explosion and a fake real roadie gets fake killed, and then they play like they're in a garage because they're all fake.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And now James Hetfield just does a Guitar Center commercial. And he plays batteries like...
Did Laws ever do that drum off thing?
I don't know. If he did, I didn't hear about it.
All right.
We haven't looked at any headlines or anything today because we've just been catching up.
I was listening to, just because it's been so hot out, I was listening to my favorite Kiss album.
Hot in the Shade?
Yep.
All right. My friend Bobby Jordan, I bet he loves our friend Bobby. I bet he loves Hot in the Shade. I remember when I went to visit Bobby in the 80s, he had that vinyl record. I know he has every record of Kiss because he's a collector.
Was that in the 80s?
It was in the 80s, yeah.
It had to be 80. It was right after Smashes, Thrashes, and Hits.
Might have been 87 or somewhere around that. But they actually had Peter Criss and Ace Frehley on that Rock and
89.
Roll Hall of Fame thing. It was pretty cool.
It was their first album since 81.
What year was it?
89.
Wow.
July, so it was the same around this time.
The first album since 81.
The Music from the Elder.
No,
it was the first full studio album since Music from the Elder.
No, that's not if it was in 89, because they had Lick It Up, and they had fucking Animalize, and they had, I don't know where you're getting your fucking information from, son.
Wikipedia.
Wicca fucking poo-poo.
They had Crazy Nights, but was that a full studio album?
No, what about Animalize and Lick It Up? Those came out
Asylum.
After the Elder.
Asylum was before Crazy Nights.
Animalize? Talking about Lick
I know,
It
I'm
Up.
I'm getting there. I'm only going one at a time.
Oh, sorry.
So, Asylum wasn't a full studio album?
I thought it was.
Weird.
They're just misquoting themselves and then showing you that they're wrong, right?
Yeah. Right. Maybe it was the first full studio album after... I don't know.
See, and I guess I already told you guys what I was listening to earlier in the episode, because I did, because I said I was listening to that first Fleetwood Mac album, which is not like any Fleetwood Mac that you'd think it was. It's some cool fucking old school blues.
Oh, wait. Yep.
Peter Green.
It is the first full studio album since Music from the Elder.
To
feature lead vocals from someone other than Paul Jean.
Oh, good.
Because Eric Carr sang on Little Caesar.
They let him sing one before he died.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be weird if
it
he died
in the last album with him on it?
I thought it would have been ironic if he would have died in a car crash.
Didn't he?
No, he died of heart cancer.
No.
But Eric Carr in a car crash?
It's one of the longest albums by Kiss.
That'd be like Ann Wilson dying from a heart attack. Okay, that's enough of that. Hey, remember a week or a month ago when we were talking with that guy Flames about that movie called The Conjuring?
Conjuring.
Dude, yep. I watched that fucking weird. That movie's fucking pretty scary. Not mm-hmm. scary, but it's fucking weird. But I don't believe that stuff's true. I don't believe that that's a true story. I looked it up on Google, and I didn't come up with anything. But I don't believe stuff like that happens. That's not real.
You remember that single by Kiss in around 90 called...
I Want to Sex You
Forever.
Yeah, I do, kind of.
You know who co-wrote that with him?
Bryan Adams?
Worse.
Celine Dion?
Sitting on the dock of the bay.
Otis Redding's been dead for years.
Nope, the other one.
The other what? What?
The other guy that sang that.
Who else sang that?
Michael Bolton.
Oh.
Michael Bolton co-wrote with Kiss the song Forever.
Cool, that's what they did. Paul Stanley got together with people like Bryan Adams.
Forever.
Michael Bolton. And fucking, come on, you guys.
Feel the noise. Michael Bolton.
Oh, God.
Kenny G.
Oh, and I misquoted myself a few weeks ago on here. I'd like to correct myself. I know nobody checked it out, because why would you? But they got that stupid show called The Real House Husbands of whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought...
With Kevin... J.B. Smoove.
No, with Kevin Dubrow's brother.
Mm-hmm.
And I had misquoted saying that Kevin Dubrow's brother had had a sex change and that he was one of the wives, but he's actually one of the husbands, so.
Oh.
But yeah, Kevin Dubrow's brother is a reality star. Hmm. And Kevin is dead. And he's feeling the noise from...
Now he's only Kevin Onebro.
He's Kevin Unibrow.
Yep.
Kevin Duo Brow.
Well,
he
should have
been Kevin Duo Brow, because when he started getting bald in like the 1983s,
mm-hmm.
which is just that one year, then the next year he had long, luscious, Lucius hair.
Ah.
With a unibrow.
Lucius Jackson?
Did you hear about that Lucius kid from Oregon? It was a Lucius kid from Oregon that killed a bitch and raped a bitch. She wasn't a bitch. I shouldn't say that. And rape's serious, but I'm so sick of everybody being so uptight about words.
About rape?
Anything. Yeah, the word rape. Fucking big deal. I'm sorry if you got raped sometime. What are you going to do?
I just thought you might want to put it in a clean pipe.
That's what she said.
No, but fucking rape isn't that funny unless you're raping a clown.
It's not funny.
Not,
but it's just not something to get all upset about when someone says it.
Yeah.
Did they
not
really,
unless they're threatening you or talking about you. Having done it.
What if it was a Gigi Allen song? I'm gonna rape you.
I watched a show where these guys were raping little girls and then tattooing their face.
See, now that's okay.
Butterfly on there.
That's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you're going to talk about rape, it better be little girls getting tattoos on their foreheads after.
Yeah, well, they snitched.
Well, here's some statistics on rape
snitched.
From my brain.
All right.
One out of three women in the world have been sexually molested or raped.
All right. Here's a stat.
Three
I'm
out
say.
Of five... men
what
have been raped or sexually mm-hmm. molested. So they're not that much different. The difference is, from this statistic...
You're saying 60% of men have been raped?
Yep. And no, not six... Well, a little bit less than the women that get raped. So maybe two out of five.
All right.
20%, whatever. But here's the thing. They say that just men don't admit it. So how do they know?
Right.
Because they're too proud to say that a woman took her way with me.
Proud to beg.
I ain't too proud to cry rape.
Mm-hmm.
I've never been raped.
Most men don't carry around rape bristles either.
Bristles?
Bristles.
Rape bristles.
Rape bristles. You know what I got a lot of?
Have you heard of the emergency sex kit?
What's it? What goes on there?
Oh, girls, sometimes guys, but mostly girls, because girls are the ones who can get laid anytime they want to go out and get laid.
Uh-huh.
It's just a little thing that they keep in their purse. It's a little box, a little kit that has like a condom
and
some lube.
Yeah.
mm-hmm. and maybe a baby wipe.
What about those rape condoms?
Have well, you got those? Now they've got the emergency rape kit for the men. It's just a little box with a little cloth and some chlorophyll.
Mm-hmm. Have you seen those anti-rape condoms, though, that women wear?
Inside the vaginas? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's barbed.
And then, yeah, it's got barbed.
You get your dick caught in there, and then they're like, ha-ha, now what are you going to do? Yeah, they put a thing inside their wussy, and then it's got some...
It's like a reverse condom with barbs.
It's kind of like trying to go out the wrong way, and you're tired.
So when you pull out... Around.
You'd rip your dick around. That's what he tried to say. I don't think it came through. Maybe it did.
Yeah. I think it probably just pulls the whole little sheath thing out.
Yeah, the sheath comes out of the pussy, but then you have to
go to a doctor to have it removed.
Yeah, because if you try
Without ripping your...
That is correct. If you try to pull it off, it just digs farther into your dick.
Mm-hmm. Like it's reverse teeth.
I think they call it the dick digger. Dick digger.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, go ahead and try to fuck me. See what happens. What if a girl just did that to be mean? She's like, yeah, I want it. Oh, just kidding. Changed my mind. Now your dick's in a splint. Mm-hmm. What you going to do?
Well, it's like that movie Teeth.
Yeah, she didn't brush them once the whole 90 minutes.
She didn't. But then that guy tried to have his way with her and bit his dinky off.
Maybe we could do a fact check right now about this law that I heard about a couple years ago.
All right.
It says in Oregon, if you have a sexual encounter with a lady, and you're drunk, that the lady has 24 hours to decide if it was consensual or not.
That's weird.
Now, me, as a human, can't understand how that could ever possibly be true. Mm-hmm. But I've heard from several people that might be a true fact, that like a girl could wake up in the morning and said, wait, I was too drunk to have a consensual sex, so you raped me. But at the time, she was saying, well, yeah, I think it'll be okay. Mm-hmm. And she opened up her heart and her vagina to the person and then said, wait a minute. I have a boyfriend. I shouldn't have done that. Why did he rape me? I'm going to have to call the cops. So if that's true, I'm calling shenanigans. Is what I call
shenanigans. That sounds like a weird law, though.
Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, fuck.
I think the best, safest way to have safe sex these days is to get a signed contract of consent.
Yeah?
Even just carry it around on a little business card.
Or
and
a cocktail
have
napkin.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, I can understand that. But what if you were like so out of your mind that you couldn't really make decisions? Like, say, if you were on some kind of hallucinogenic drugs.
Then they'd have to call your power of attorney.
Ooh, your higher power of attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Remember we talked, I made a little clip and put it on YouTube asking people if I should take psychedelic drugs.
Uh-huh.
Well, we found some psychedelic drugs.
How many?
Just enough. Just enough.
All right.
For me and the wife.
Uh-huh.
And country fair is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So we're pretty much like... We've gotten onto the fence now. We're officially on the fence because we've take the first step of getting up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're going to take the plunge, but I'm not scared.
You have some Nest Tea over there.
Nest Tea?
Going to be taking any plunges.
The Nest Tea plunge? I just hope the side of the fence that we jump on does have something to plunge into.
Yeah. 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 Which brings me to a point. Today is World UFO Day. Did you know that?
That is so weird, dude. I'm reading this. Right when you said that, I was reading a sentence called cruising around in a spaceship.
Woo! And you've seen a UFO, right?
As a child, I have. Not as an adult, but I remember it, and it's one of those two times. Two different occasions.
Mm-hmm.
One I think I remember more myself. The one from being younger, I remember the story being told to me and me retelling the story. You know how those memories kind of get formed sometimes where
yep.
I might have been too young to actually remember it, but I've been told the story enough times that... But the one at the drive-in I've told on here before at the movie Piranha, 1978, I had to have been about 10. Maybe it was 77, I don't know when that movie came out. Piranha. the very first original. Yeah, there was a big old spaceship, and it looked like a movie time spaceship that came and hovered over this fucking snack bar at the just right over there, wherever the fucking drive-in used to be, over on 99. And then just like disappeared like things aren't supposed to disappear. Like it just went, and it was just gone. Into
you don't think it was a hologram Kenny G?
Dude, this is 1977-ish.
Oh, that's
right. I don't think they had Kenny G holograms back then. And everybody in it was a double feature.
It could be if he was a time traveler.
And everybody in the snack bar was talking about it, too. Like, did you see that thing? Like, during the fucking highlight of the movie when everyone at the summer camp was getting attacked by piranhas? It was like the aliens didn't want us to know what was going to happen in the movie.
Yeah.
I did not know that today is National UFO Day, though.
You know what's weird? If you had a time machine and you went back in time to tell yourself when you're 10 years old how to build the time machine.
Yeah.
You'd already know that you'd never stumble across the time machine because you would have known when you were 10 because you would have went back in time.
That's true. That's a weird concept to think about.
Mm-hmm. The World UFO Day, you should look for UFOs when you're out on your hallucinogenic excursion.
But it ain't going to be today.
No, but just look for UFOs when you're out there.
I will. I will for sure. I was just reading this story right when you told me about being UFO Day.
UFOs?
It said an Arkansas man was arrested and charged with driving while intoxicated and disorderly conduct after he allegedly harassed a couple in a car because he believed that they were cruising around in a spaceship. And he thought the driver was an alien. He demanded that the alien take his spaceship back to where they came from. But it was a Plymouth Prowler. But he thought it was a spaceship. According to this 44-year-old guy was shaky and talking to himself. And they're pretty sure that he was on meth. Because they found a meth pipe in his pocket, I guess. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So he thought this dude was driving a spaceship on the ground. That's weird.
Everything I see in the sky is a spaceship because I don't know what the fuck it is. It's unidentified to me, and it's flying.
They asked him why he thought that Plymouth car was a spaceship, and he said it looked futuristic to me, and it was a very big deal, and it had 100,000 Asian flowers.
What year was the vehicle?
It didn't say. It just said a Plymouth Prowler. I didn't even know that's a car. Is that a car? Is that a new car?
New car a smell? Plymouth Prowler? I don't know. Did it have flowers on it?
Well, he said it had 100,000 Asian flowers, but I think he was just high on...
What's an Asian flower?
Something in the mind of a meth head, I think.
No, I mean, when you think of an Asian flower, what do you think of?
A girl I knew in high school. Her name was Yao Ming. She sucked good dingling long time.
She was my ding-a-ling.
She was my high school Asian flower. A schoolgirl outfit, and it's odd her name was Yao Ming because he became a baseball or basketball star later.
He was a pitcher.
He was a pitcher in football.
Mm-hmm.
I used to play pitcher in football. I was a water boy.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I bring out pitchers of water for the football team.
What would they do with the pitchers of water?
Pour them on the coach's head.
I wanted to ask Hans if he ever saw a UFO.
Hey, UFO. You a Foo Fighter, dude?
Not a UFO. Just if he's ever seen UFO.
I did.
You did?
With Blue Oyster Cult and Bob Seger.
Really?
First concert ever.
Bob Seger. Was he with the Silver Bullet Band?
Yes, and check this out.
That kid from Silver Bullet in the wheelchair there?
Bob Seger's coming to Dante's.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not kidding. I can't believe it. I don't care.
Dude, that guy is like a rock.
Dude, is he going to play that song or is he just going to take it back to Nutbush City?
He's going to drive his Chevy into the place.
Like a bridge. Driving his rock against the wind. Like a rock, driving against the wind.
Dude, that's an all-day show, right?
We still got to play like 40 songs at least.
His songs are as long as Yob's.
Oh, but he could make medleys.
When he plays them live.
He could sing a nice medley.
Yeah. You have to sing a medley when you got so many hits, right?
Just take those old records out.
show.
Like, every time I go and see Tom Petty, there's always hits that he doesn't play, but it seems like he plays all hits all night long.
Of course.
Like, for like an hour and a half, but then there's still more hits left that he didn't play.
Could you imagine going to see the Rolling Stones other than the fact that it'd be shitty?
What song would you want to hear them play live?
This one. I want to hear him play Miss You.
What about Emotional Rescue?
That'd be my top choice. And Steel Wheels.
Steel Wheels keep on turning.
And I would hope that they would redo the Mick Jagger, David Bowie Dancing in the Streets.
What if they just did the Flowers album? Like one of their early weird albums.
Or like
with the Ruby Tuesday,
like song. Behind the Buttons. Just
yeah,
we're just gonna do Behind the Buttons tonight.
Yep,
and then we'll do I Can't Get No Satisfaction for an encore. I would just want to see that and Jumpin' Jack Flash.
I saw two guys act one time, and they did the I Can't Get No Satisfaction song as a duo with no instrumentation. They just shouted the lyrics.
What does that
lyrics.
Even mean?
They just said the lyrics in a weird...
That is weird.
...pedantic.
All right, well, we're sweating, you guys. We're going to talk to you more about it on Friday, about send us some money.
Go out and hug your grandma and but give sweat her, with those oldies.
Give her a good sweaty hug, though. Make sure you don't put on deodorant afterwards or before.
Yeah, go make it like so-so.
And this might be the first Wednesday forever that we forgot to say get out and do some humping. So
go hump so-so from Orange.
You might as well fuck
black.
Somebody because if they think that it's rape, they got 24 hours to decide. So if you learn anything from today's episode, it's just fuck somebody. Go fuck yourself.
Rock on, people.
And metal up your rape hole.